Off the ball. GAA. They were so wrapped in the game, they forgot to do their job. They switched off. And we needed them to do their job, like, you know? There's 15,000 of them behind me. Like, you know, do your job.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Belgium dumped the USA out of the World Cup despite Folarin Balogun's inclusion in the team. Cristiano Ronaldo's World Cup dream ends after Mikel Merino put Spain through to the last eight. And tonight, it's Messi against Salah with Argentina up against Egypt. But first, Charles Akatalara scored twice for Belgium in their 4-1 win over the USA in Seattle last night. It means all three co-hosts have now been knocked out of the World Cup. Folarin Balogun started for Maurizio Pochettino's side after US President Donald Trump asked FIFA to review Balogun's ban following his red card in the previous round against Bosnia-Herzegovina. The US were outplayed despite making it 1-1 with a deflected free kick from Malik Tillman. Hans Van Aken and Romelu Lukaku scored second-half goals for Belgium, who lost Amadou Onana in the first half due to a knee injury, and it has since been confirmed it was a cruciate injury for the Aston Villa midfielder. Belgium will play Spain in the quarterfinals in LA on Friday. US manager Maurizio Pochettino defended their right to appeal the Balogun suspension and also denied it affected their performance.
I am disappointed in a personal way because I think we should talk about that is the possibility to apply for that situation, but that is not an excuse to say, oh, we didn't perform because of that. That is not true.
Pochettino also said he'll take time to consider his position.
I think we'll build a very good relationship, but now is a moment to see, to assess the tournament, and for sure in the next weeks we can start to talk if the federation want to talk.
Mikel Merino came off the bench to score in injury time for Spain to knock Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo out of the World Cup in their last 16 tie in Dallas. Ferran Torres set up his fellow substitute to give the European champions a 1-0 win, a repeat result from the same stage in 2010 when Spain went on to win their first and only World Cup. That loss for Portugal ended 41-year-old Ronaldo's World Cup career after he confirmed that this tournament would be his last. And on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, author and journalist Richard Fitzpatrick joined Colin Buhig and Ger Gilroy, and the three lads debated if Ronaldo's international career was a success despite winning three trophies.
And Ronaldo is, considering Ronaldo and his achievements and his expectations as well, has this been a successful international career for him? Because on one hand, you have the Euros 2016, where he's central to that, and you know he goes off early in the final, but without Ronaldo, they wouldn't have won the Euro 2016 for sure. He's the first player to score in six men's World Cups. But at the same time, you know, I don't think he ever scored a goal from open play in a knockout game. And of course, didn't win the World Cup, and he's forever compared to Messi in that regard. And I wonder, all in all, it's more successful than not, I imagine, but it feels like more could have been achieved.
Yeah, it's hard to know. We set the bar very high. Like, Portugal is a very small country. I think winning the Euros was an extraordinary achievement for them to win a major tournament. On the other side, he didn't deliver in the very big knockout games in World Cups. But I would still take it in the cold light of day to win a European Championships for Spain, their first major tournament victory, given the resources they have. Although, it's been pointed out they have a golden generation. Again, they've an amazing team, but Figo couldn't do it back in the early noughties, you know, with the great Portugal side as well. So I'd give Ronaldo a break on that one and think he did well to win a European Championships.
Yeah, it's an all-time great international career.
Yeah, 146 goals.
Yeah.
Like, whew, that's...
Do you think it isn't?
Crazy. No, I think it's a great career. Like, that's, we used to marvel at Puskás, you know, scoring 80 odd goals for Hungary, but 146 is some number. Mm. You know?
It is. It totally is. I think both things can be true, personally speaking. I think that Portugal squad is ridiculously talented, and it's a huge shame for them that they're out before the quarterfinals. I think that squad is more than good enough to win the World Cup on paper.
Yeah, he should have been kept, you know, on the sidelines, throw him in for 20 minutes at the end of the game, you know, to as an X factor. It's sad.
And that's available now to listen back to in your OTB Football podcast feed. Meanwhile, Roberto Martinez stepped down as Portugal manager after the game, and the Spaniard defended the decision to play Ronaldo for all 90 minutes.
It's a presence, open space, a dead ball situation, anything in the box. We need his experience, so it would make no sense. Probably going into extra time, it would have been the moment to use the energy of Gonçalo Ramos.
World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Tonight, Argentina face Egypt in the last 16. Kickoff is 5 o'clock. Argentina will play in the last 16 for a sixth World Cup in a row after their thrilling last 32 win over debutants Cape Verde last Friday. Lionel Messi has scored 7 of Argentina's 11 goals at this World Cup. He's one of the 3 joint top scorers along with Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland. Egypt advanced in the knockout stages for the first time with their penalty shootout win over Australia. Then at 9, Vancouver hosts the last of the last 16 ties. Switzerland take on Colombia with a place in the quarterfinals against Argentina or Egypt on the line. Switzerland have won 3 consecutive matches after a surprise opening draw with Qatar. Their first World Cup knockout win in 88 years was against Algeria in the last 32. Colombia, who finished top of Group K ahead of Portugal, beat Ghana 1-0 in the last 32. Their only previous meeting at a World Cup finished in a 2-0 win for Colombia in the group stage in 1994 in the US. Jordan Henderson's World Cup campaign is over. The midfielder suffered a wrist injury after he landed awkwardly as he tried to hop over the advertising hoardings just minutes after England's 3-2 win against Mexico at the Azteca Stadium. He didn't travel back with the team to their training base in Kansas City, where Thomas Tuchel's side are preparing for their quarterfinal against Norway on Saturday. Defender Ezri Konsa says they're ready to battle hard again.
It was a brotherhood, the effort that we all had to put in. You know, certain players changing positions like myself and putting in a shift. It's what you want to do if you want to go far in this tournament. And with Erling Haaland, we'll have to focus on that when it comes.
Meanwhile, on Monday's Off the Ball Breakfast, writer and broadcaster John Bruin praised the impact of Jude Bellingham in that game.
He has that hero persona, doesn't he? And in a game like that, that's probably what you need. If England are to go far in this tournament, or were to go far in this tournament, I think quarterfinals is probably just about par, though to lose to Norway would be disappointing at this point. They had to get the best of Jude Bellingham. Because I was watching the Grand Prix yesterday and Phil Foden was there. All these questions would be raised over when you left him at there, you left... Who else did he leave? Adam Wharton.
Trent.
Morgan Gibbs-White. Yeah, but Gibbs-White would have been good in that game last night, I think. You know, he's a guy for the trenches, isn't he? But when you do that, you need to get the best from Jude Bellingham. And we have seen the best from Jude Bellingham, which is that he is a match winner, a player that can deliver big moments. He was also in those final moments when Big Dan Byrne was performing heroics, trying to perform heroics of his own. He had his shot from the halfway line. He would get the ball and just seem to sort of run straight into the heart of the Mexicans, which I'm not sure was that constructive. Maybe he could have passed it to an England teammate, but he has that hero persona, doesn't he? And in a game like that, that's probably what you need.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. On the football show last night, Tommy Rooney was joined by Arthur O'Dea and Ben Symes. And Ben thought that the England performance against Mexico wasn't that good.
That was huge for them because they're going to hype this up. And they did hype this up, as like Alan Shearer and Guy Mowbray said after the game, the greatest English result in a World Cup since 66. And one of the greatest.
Saw
English,
that a lot.
Yeah, and one of the greatest English performances. And
what's going on with that?
Okay, the result is outstanding. It's brilliant. It's really good considering the amount of hype and everything around it and kind of what they had to go through in the game. I didn't think they were great. I didn't think the performance was outstanding. I thought Mexico were really, 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 really poor defensively. And I'm going to praise Thomas Tuchel a lot here because I thought he got everything spot on. And he made the game really slow. And it was these constant, you know, 30 yards back to passes back to Pickford. Then he passed centre-half back to him again. And they really slowed the game down and it nulled the atmosphere a lot. And then England realised when Mexico attacked them, they're leaving these huge spaces in the middle of the park and mainly in between kind of midfielder and the fullback, and Rice gets the ball at one stage and he realises this and he just goes running forward with the ball and he goes running down the right hand side, and I can't remember who he passes it above him, but Jude Bellingham is running through the middle, and Jude Bellingham is coasting through the middle, and Lira, who's been man marking him the whole game and had done quite a job, good job so far as man marking him, and he's following him, man marking him, and then he gets to the edge of the box and he just decides, you know, I don't really fancy picking up Jude anymore now that he's in the box. And he throws a lazy arm out to Sanchez in rifle. You pick him up. And Sanchez turns around and he's got his eye on Gordon. And now he's got his eye on Bellingham. And Bellingham scores. And you think that is just basic defending 1-on-1. And then Mexico's heads are gone. And they kick off again. And the ball goes back to 17-year-old Gilberto Mora. Decides he wants to try and do a Cruyff turn in the middle of his own half when England are have their tails up. Gordon and Bellingham pounce on it. It goes out to Kane. Kane is really unselfish. And cross the ball, Bellingham scores again, and you just think that's that. The game's done. Thomas Tuchel then, I initially thought it's way too early. He takes off the two subs and he brings on Dan Burn and Jed Spence.
They're down to 10.
They're down to 10 men from Kwanzaa for rightly a red card. And they're down to 10 men and he brings on big Dan Burn at centre half. And Dan Burn is superb. And he gets every ball. And they basically just go, we're going to sit in this block of five. You don't have the quality to take on one of us. You don't have the quality to move the ball quick enough.
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Click follow in your podcast feed if you don't want to miss any updates. And if you don't want to miss a single second of our coverage ahead of the World Cup quarterfinals, semi-finals and final, become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Kylian Mbappe and the France Football Federation have condemned racist remarks made by a Paraguayan politician towards the France captain. Celeste Amaria, a senator and member of their Liberal Radical Party, put out several posts on X after the Real Madrid forward scored the winner against the South Americans on Saturday. He's called her despicable. Shamrock Rovers face Floriana of Malta this evening in the first qualifying round of the Champions League. The first leg is away from home at 6:30. Shamrock Rovers have played league face football in Europe, specifically in the Conference League, in three of the last four seasons, with Rovers very much accustomed to this level of competition. And manager Stephen Bradley says this stage of the competition means a lot to the League of Ireland clubs.
It's really important for us as a football club, for the league as a whole. I think it's the aim for all of us is to take the league on. And obviously, my first thought is Shamrock Rovers, but the bigger picture is the league as a whole. And I think we've definitely been making progress and for a number of years now, and other teams have obviously started to come on that journey as well. Shelbourne last year, which is really good to see, and hopefully that can be repeated again this year.
Welsh title holders, the New Saints, are in Champions League action as well this evening. They're away to Azerbaijani champion Sabah. And former Chelsea boss Liam Rossignol has been named as the new manager of Paris FC. He's been out of work since he was sacked in April by Chelsea after just 4 months in charge when he replaced Enzo Maresca. Rossignol previously enjoyed success while in charge at French club Strasbourg. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.